Today's guest is Denise Fatola, also known as the Social Samurai. And why I'm excited about this conversation for you as a listener of this podcast is because of the topic of influencer marketing. And it's not just the fact that Denise is now doubling, tripling down on that type of channel and investing resources in that direction and helping others understand how to do that, because the conversation does cover that. But it's also because she used to work at Ogilvy and Bayer and watched marketing as a profession and as an industry develop across technologies, across channels. And we get to explore that so that we can hone in on why it is she determined this to be the next step. And let's face it, with technologies changing the way that they are today, it's important to consider opinions like that. Very, very important, especially when we're investing our hard-earned dollars and our limited budgets on maximizing the return on ad spend or investment, no matter where we are in the marketing lifecycle across whatever channel we're trying to consider and leverage. So if this is something that's always been of interest to you, look no further than this episode in particular, because Denise leaves it all out on the field for us, breaks it all down. Nuggets of wisdom everywhere you look. So without further ado, Denise Fatola.
Denise, I am super stoked to have you here, and I will tell you why. Because of what you said before we hit record in terms of where you see things going and how important you think this is to the marketing strategy of pretty much everyone in business. So before we get into that juicy stuff, I first want to cover a few things. Number one, I think in my research, one of the more interesting things I saw was that you have a title named Social Samurai. Can you tell me the story behind that?
Yeah, I think that our jobs are a little bit of jujitsu here and there, and we are all aiming to get our black belt. And I've been around the block for a very long time, and I consider myself a social samurai because I started in the days when, I mean, Facebook wasn't around when I started working, which is like crazy embarrassing, like makes me seem like an old hen, but it just means that I'm seasoned. But and having to grow up and apply social influencer, digital, all of those things, and learn in real time has really given me an edge. Because where kids are learning it today, it's part of school, it's part of what they do. I learned and adapted and was able to thrive in business. So when I think of social, I think of what are the applications in business versus my personal life first. It's business first. And how does this social apply? So I'm here to apply that social samurai, expertise to marketing that I do for any of the clients that I'm working with.
Right. Now, I have in my notes, you have a background with Ogilvy and Bayer. Right. So when you talk about marketing, you're talking about marketing in the way that the biggest players have seen it. And there are many other places you've worked at where your impact was felt. And then we combine that with the fact that you've watched technology develop and the multiple strategies people have used to adopt that and implement it into their business. How have you stayed excited about this, as opposed to what happens when most people spend too long in one vertical? And I put that in air quotes, too long, because it looks like you're still thriving in it. How do you stay fresh and stay engaging when so many other people are sort of thrown off? Like, for example, with AI, everyone's starting to feel like, oh, what's the point? What am I supposed to do? And they always get discouraged, but the really successful ones, and your track record speaks for itself, they just get more energy from this. What do you think that is? Does it come down to your passion, or is there a different way you're looking at things?
Well, one of the mottos I live by is challenge yourself to change yourself. And there's many times that something becomes easy or something becomes second nature and I walk away from it because it's not challenging me anymore. It just isn't exciting. So if you want to thrive and grow, you need to continue to look for opportunities that are going to be able to afford you those chances to thrive and learn. So it's, hey, can you do this? Do you have experience at that? Not all the time I do, but I'm like, guess what? I can figure it out. And in figuring it out, you're learning and you're thriving and you're just adapting a skill set to it that you've already built over time because you're constantly challenging yourself. There's one thing that's sure that's going to happen throughout your work career. I tell this to everyone, is something is going to change, and things are going to change often, more frequently than you like. And the more comfortable you become with change, the more you seek out change, it's going to become normal. So it's like making the novel normal, right? So, you know, you're afraid to go on a roller coaster, but if you continue to go on that roller coaster 5 and 6 and 7 times, you're like, this isn't that bad. So look, Snap comes out. Okay, how do you use this? What's going on with this? Okay, well, let's get on there. Let's learn it. Threads launches and everybody's up in arms about Threads. What are we going to do with Threads? It's new and we're going to adapt and we're going to figure it out. You know, and that's what we do. And the people that are able to do that, see that as an opportunity versus a negative, they're the people, like you said, that are going to continue in their career to be successful.
Yes. And I want to get into that promise that we started at the beginning of the conversation in just a bit with what you're speaking about, the marketing approach that people should be taking more than ever before because of emerging technologies, as we alluded to prior to recording.
Yeah.
But I want to lay down some principles first, because you have seen things come and go, things that worked, things that didn't. What are some things that have remained true about marketing and PR throughout the years for you, that no matter what came along, these things still had to happen, still needed to be done no matter what?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing that remains true is no, a consumer doesn't give a hoot. I was going to curse, but I don't know.
Rat's ass, right?
I don't know if this is PG or what it is.
But it's rated R.
All adults, but nonetheless.
Real.
No one is sitting back and being like, oh gosh, I can't wait for Apple to contact me and tell me about their new technology and how long that battery is going to last. Look, there are brand fans of Apple and people love Apple as a brand, but it's not consumers sitting here waiting. Oh, I can't wait for that brand to do something. So the more human connections you can make and the more you can humanize your brand and act not like a brand is where you're going to see with consumers. That's never going to change. That's remained true throughout my entire career, that you need to address the consumer where the consumer is in their journey and how they feel. And everything is very emotional to them. So the more you can make it emotional, the more you're going to connect with consumers. That's always going to remain true. So those are tenets that you can be sure that while Denise is 6 feet under the ground, those things will still remain true.
Right on. Okay. Yeah. No matter what, you got to start with the customer, and that's never going to change. Okay. Just
making
sure
I
heard
that
right.
That's one of the biggest, 100%. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes when I sit in a room and have a lot of marketers around the table and they're just so focused on, oh, is this on equity? Do the colors, are they right? Is the logo positioned properly? Well, let me tell you, when a consumer's sitting on their couch and they're toggling through their phone or they're looking at connected TV, they don't really care about your logo. They don't really care about your color palette. They're not concerned about those things. What they're concerned about is, oh, you know, like Farmer's Dog did that commercial and it was like, you saw the dog throughout the years and you really saw the compassion between. No one cared about the logo. No one cared if the thing was green or orange. It was that story that really like hit my heart. And I was like, okay, I will forever remember you now, Farmer's Dog. Get your head out of the boardroom. Times are different now. And when I sit and somebody tells me, well, we don't want to do that idea because it's not on brand, it's not on equity. And it's like, but is it on consumer? Is it on consumer? And if it is on consumer, then we should do it. Worry less about your brand, worry more about the people receiving the message.
I feel you dropping gems here. I feel you dropping gems, Denise. Now, let's get into what we started at the beginning of the conversation, sort of as a carrot on the stick for people as they were listening. I think it's timely now to integrate this into the conversation here. And that is, you told me about the way you're viewing influencer marketing right now and who you're partnered with in terms of making this happen for people today. Can you bring me in on where that transition happened for you or your first brush against influencer marketing?
Yeah. So I've been working in influencer marketing like back when like Blogger was a thing and mommy bloggers. And I don't know if you remember Vine and Vine Street and, you know, all the cool kids that were living at Vine Street. Right. So I was like working in social media then, and I was enamored by influencers. I'm like, this is so cool. But I just continued my career and doing my thing. And we'd apply influencer a bit here. We'd apply influencer a bit there. And we were crawling before we were walking, walking before we were running and getting there. So as my career advanced and the more fascinated I became with the space, I would do more and more with influencer, more and more and more. And here we are today, like years and years later, but people think it's like, oh, influencer, that's like since like COVID, right? Like that's when that started. It's like, no, about 12 years ago. But COVID lit a match, right? So now everyone's paying attention. And I would say my career has mostly been in integrated marketing, right? So I've dipped my toe in a lot of different spaces, became fascinated with digital, became a samurai, and then really, really started leading into this influencer space. So fascinated by it that I'm at the point in my career where I left a huge job, a great job, not because of anything negative, just because I know that influencer marketing is the thing. So all brand marketers, any brand marketer that's listening to this conversation between us, if they don't have it in their toolkit, then they're not going to be able to build a foundation. And upon that foundation, building the house that's going to reach the consumer, that's going to make them want to buy your products. Influencers are a key to this marketing mix, if not the key, right? So like if I had a brand when I was at my former company, if they said to me, oh, I only have $150,000, you know, I don't have much budget. Well, kick everything out of the window, go with influencer. Because why? Because you can create content that not only the influencer can promote on their channels, but now you can have that content and you can own it. So you could use it on your PDP pages. You could use it in advertising, social advertising. You know, there's lots of elements where you can use this, and you can use it obviously in paid to boost the influencer content as well. You can use it on your own pages. There's so many, you know, sort of applications to working with an influencer, so many benefits. And we're in a content environment where we need an abundance of content, and that's the way that we get it. But guess what? Consumers, I said this, they don't trust brands, but they trust influencers. So we're going to borrow that trust off of that influencer to start telling people, hey, Apple's battery life lasts a really long time. Oh, I don't care that about the Apple commercial where the outlet's crying. That's like so stupid. But guess what? An influencer who I think is cool and I'm following starts telling me about the battery life, or that the showing me the photography that it could take. Huh, I'm going to start listening a little bit more to that. So influencer marketing is the way to go. So left my company and the job that I had, which was great and I loved it, to pursue something that I believe is going to really change how we market, right? It's the innovative way to do it. And I'm now at Linkia, which is a influencer marketing agency. And being that I was on the client side, I had a lot of connects with a lot of influencer agencies. I did a ton of research, and I really do believe I landed at an agency that's best in class, that is really going to be able to catapult this influencer marketing tactic really to the next level.
Can I ask you a question? I feel like everyone who's listening to this would ask. It pertains to, where do I start? Right. If we just had to borrow a second of your time here and just go, hey, look, this is great. And I get it. Often people are pushed one channel or the other. They hear one podcast and they're told ads is the way to go. Here's what you do. Here's how you do it differently. Right. These conversations tend to pop up here and there, especially on social media. But when we have someone with your pedigree, with your expertise, and we get a moment to ask something like, just what do I need to know about starting down the journey of the consideration for influencer marketing and what that partnership looks like? What happens if I don't have connections? Do I have to partner with someone? You know, all those things start to pop up. And I think the first one is, where do I start?
Yeah, there's a lot of places to start, but I will say this, because it is one of the most important places to start, because one of the most frustrating things for somebody that's working in influencer marketing and working with partners that want to execute influencer or we're trying to convince that it's the right thing, is a lack of understanding of social platforms. So if you are a marketer or you are somebody that, you know, is a startup company and you own potato chips and you're trying to get that out there, spend some time on social media and start studying those people that are mentioning your brands. And then take a look at those people that are mentioning your brands and click on what other brands that they're mentioning. And then look at the adjacent brands that are popping up and do a little research on who's mentioning those brands and start understanding the community of people. Because you may say, this is, again, it cracks me up. It's like, look, we're so textbook, like loosen it up, folks, loosen it up a little bit. So textbook. Oh, my consumer is a 30-year-old man who does blah, 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 blah. Right. Okay. All right. So you say, but if you go on social media, guess what? It's a 50-year-old guy who sits on the couch, loves sports, and has never played an athletic game in their life. They're watching, they're not participating. Big difference between those two consumers, both men, but they're very different in how they approach life. But they're steadfast, and that's my consumer. So anyway, you asked me, the first thing to do is familiarize yourself with the conversation that's happening on social media. Start with social listening, because through listening, that's where all the answers are. And don't think then after that, I'm on Instagram and I started posting a little bit, or like, hey, people are liking my stuff on TikTok. That makes me an expert. So now start telling experts what they need to do. Now go to experts and trust their advice. That's what you need to do.
This is awesome. And then can I ask just one nuance to that? Because it sounds like that's one way for people who have a brand and maybe have some notoriety or have some presence. Is influencer marketing only for those people at that level? And is there some work that needs to be done prior to getting to that level? Or can someone who maybe focuses on personal brand, or which may be entrepreneurs and people like that on LinkedIn or Twitter, or maybe other platforms, alternative to consumer gross product friendly platforms, can they look at influencer marketing, or do they have some work to do before they get there?
I love that you asked that question, because first of all, like, one of the things I got asked at a conference recently was, what's the predictions for the future? I think LinkedIn is an underutilized resource, and the people that are on LinkedIn are consumers too. And there's a great need for this B2B connection. So LinkedIn is really going to have its moment. And it's not just going to be in B2B. It's going to be in thought leadership for brands. And brands could show up there a little bit differently. So loving LinkedIn. Now, you asked about people as brands, though. But if you look, take a look at personal trainers, speakers, doctors, they're blowing up on social media. They are building their own brands and connecting directly with their consumers and really broadening things out there. Second opportunity behind LinkedIn, well, not behind it, but in addition to it, is this whole healthcare category and access to medicine. And I feel like any healthcare provider, be it a doctor, be it a nurse practitioner, be it a nutritionist, have a huge opportunity, a huge branding opportunity on these social platforms. It's for anyone and everyone. And there's opportunities are boundless, because that's the way we are functioning as a society. We are functioning through social media.
I love that. Is there the inverse of that? And thank you for indulging all my questions. The inverse of that, are there things we shouldn't do when pursuing the idea of doing influencer marketing off the bat? Just take it off the table.
Yeah, I would say be careful who you align with And that's why it's important to work with an influencer agency like Blinkia, because there's a lot of bad actors out there. There are a lot of people that, like, ask any 17-year-old kid, you know, you walk down, what do you want to be? Okay, if they want a doctor, lawyer, firefighter, they want to be an influencer. You're going to hear them say they want to be an influencer. You don't know how many people. I'm at the gym the other day, and this gal who would make a great influencer, but you got to put in the time. It's a lot of work goes behind it. She's like, so what do I need to do to be an influencer? It's like, yeah, you just snap your finger. It happens. No, a lot of work goes into it. But there's a lot of bad actors out there. And there, that means that you're going to partner up with them as a brand. You kind of see what you see, but on the back end of that relationship is a lot of problems. So as a person, a marketer that's trying to connect with influencers, it's best that you're working with those people that can properly vet them, have AI tools that are really scanning their social media channels and understanding whether they're right for you, whether they fit your brand equity. You know, you need the right tools in order to vet the right people, and having the right partners is the most important thing when you're working with influencers.
That was going to be my follow-up. Is one of the benefits to working with an agency like Blinkia or something thereof that you not only have someone vetting, but you also get somebody who already has connections to potentially to the types of verticals that you're looking for? Or are there other benefits that I haven't been able to assume here?
Well, there's tons of benefits. I mean, influencer management is like herding cats, like blind cats, blind and deaf cats. There a lot of management goes into it. And you want a partner that, first of all, is going to be able to use AI, use technology to listen to the conversation. I said this in the beginning, because through listening to that conversation, then I can serve up the appropriate people. Through listening to that conversation, then I can serve up what is the message that's going to resonate with those audiences. Then I can serve up the creative idea. Okay, now I'm going to grab all those influencers for you. Now I'm going to herd them, and I'm going to write the brief, and I'm going to work with these influencers to get all of the content appropriate. I'm going to make sure get the rights to the content so you can use that across all channels and all marketing elements that you want to use it upon. I got to work through legal. I got to work through all of these things to make sure. I got to do contracting. All of these steps take time that an agency like Blinkia is going to manage end-to-end seamlessly and successfully while also delivering best-in-class ideas, best-in-class partnership, people like me, and take a lot of the heavy lifting off of those folks that are, you know, working on the brand side.
This is big. This is big. One of the biggest fears I often hear people, I work fractionally in marketing when I'm not doing podcasting. And one of the biggest fears for people is always, I'm going to spend the money on this channel and so what? And that's as far as their strategy goes. And one of those fears adjacent to influencer marketing is great. We'll have this beautiful, amazing video. Like you talked about, the color is right. Mm-hmm. Everything is highly produced. And then what? Right. This is their biggest fear, is that they'll have something beautiful, looks amazing, punchy, articulate message, and yet nothing comes from that. How do you navigate the fear like that when addressing people who may be interested in partnering with Blinkia or someone like that?
Yeah. Well, I had that problem when I was sitting in-house at Bayer. I get there and I start telling everybody, hey, influencers are going to change the world. Hey, you can sell product through influencers. What? You can take this content, you can put it on your Amazon page, storefront pages, you can put it on the Target pages. What? Like, everyone's like mind blown, but love it. And they want to do it. But how do you do it? Right. So we enlisted, you know, Blinkia as a partner. They were our partner over there and started executing it. But the way that I was able to overcome a lot of that fear was bringing the outside in. So bringing case studies of things that other folks were doing that were similar to Bayer, not similar to Bayer, to show them that these successes can happen and they can happen for us. So, you know, we sort of tiptoed into it by doing a test and learn around holiday season. It was a multi-brand execution. It was a, you know, click to cart. So there was a shopper element tied to it. We put paid behind it and there was huge success from there. And then showing that success out to everyone, then the trust factor goes up. So don't go in and be like, give me $2 million and I'm going to do this big campaign. It's like, okay, you know, you're, you know, having reservations about this. I feel that's okay. let's do something small, a little bit of a test and learn. And then look, if you're good at what you do, like I know at Linkia, if any brand comes to us and hires us, if you just want to do a small test and learn, you're going to come back for more because we're going to nail it and we're going to hit the ball out of the park. And you're going to see all of, like you said, all the applications, all the ways I can use this. And then the proof is in the metrics and the KPIs. What I love about influencer marketing, which is different than PR, you brought up PR earlier, is it's like PR is all about impressions. And everybody's like, what's an impression? It's like this like voodoo, you know, stuff that nobody knows what an impression is. But if you start talking about ROAS and MTA and, you know, all of those Nielsen ratings that marketers are used to, which are all of the KPIs you get with influencer marketing, all of a sudden we're talking apples to apples.
I see.
Mic drop. It's easy.
Right. There definitely is some mysticism to PR.
Oh, for sure. There's still obstacles to overcome there. But that's not my job.
Right. So, okay. Before we bring this to a close, I just want, because it is likely the predominant person listening, if you had to start from scratch, but kept your skill set and experience that you had now, and you were looking to build up some kind of personal brand, and you knew that influencer marketing was going to be a channel you were going to explore, what would you do to prepare for that journey? Let's say you probably have somewhere around $150,000 budget across time, not all at once, right? What would you do to prepare for that journey?
Yeah. Are we talking about a brand or a person?
A personal brand.
A personal brand. So you want to invest $150,000 and you want to raise awareness. Is that what we want
to
do?
As anyone in business, we're in the business of making money, right? So let's make it easier. Let's call them a speaker. Let's say that, right? Okay. Most entrepreneurs eventually, when they're building their personal brand, want to get into speaking. So let's bring it down there.
Okay. And how do you use maybe influencer marketing as an opportunity to get your name out there? I think, you know, and I'm glad you brought up a speaker because there's a network of speakers, quite honestly. And I think it's like, you know, partnering and pairing yourselves up with like-minded people and people in that industry. And you have to like follow and look at people. And who are your doppelgangers that you sort of don't want to be? But who are those, what I call like social avatars? So who are the people, and you could even do this as a brand, like those that are doing something right that you're envious of, right? And how do you go on and continue to refine who you are and refine your message and your content, quite honestly? Because we're all there to look at videos and we're all there to look at pictures. So, you know, looking at like people, partnering up with them, following them and honing in on your message. What's your space, right? Because you don't want to just say the same thing as everybody else. Why follow you versus somebody else? And then really digging deep to really identify how do you create content that has staying power? And that may mean taking some classes. That may mean hiring some people that are going to help you create this content. But it's so important to have the right kind of stuff that's going to make people stop and listen. And you need a story, right? So you need a hook. So who the bleep did I marry is doing so well because she has a story to tell. And it's an interesting story. And she's a good storyteller. So she loops you in. She's very casual and she's kind of funny and sarcastic. So I'm curious because I think she just signed with CCAA. I think I just saw that today or yesterday. Now, how many, maybe she has more stories, right? I don't know. But this story is just a good story. But it doesn't mean that, just like with the movie, if there's a good movie, it doesn't mean the second one's going to be good.
Right.
I wish her all the luck and I think she's fantastic and she definitely reeled me in. And if you've not seen that on TikTok, it's like literally they're 10 minutes long, but I'm like, tell me more.
No, but, and I love that you brought up CAA because so many people who are looking to be speakers just rule out the Hollywood management and affiliate groups altogether when speaking isn't that different than acting, I think, in my opinion, in a lot of ways. And to sort of bring in what I've learned so far,
So when it comes to personal branding, things like you just mentioned and laid out are really important for personal brands. And then for consumer brands, where you might be talking about a, let's say a health bar, a snack bar, or even something like an ice bath, a deep plunge and things of that nature. From what you've shared, the idea is to do some social listening, look at the brands you can align with, look at what the people in the comments, quite literally, that's social listening, in case someone's asking, right, are doing, saying, and start to get familiar with those things all prior to preparing to approach, so that you just have something to say to the to an agency like Linkia or something thereof? Or is all that not necessary and you can just go right into the room and talk to Linkia?
I think the beauty about social media is it's like ever changing, and you can also put things up and take things down. So I don't want people to ever get sort of afraid to make a move, because social media is a very forgiving space and you could be nimble and quick, and you don't have to be perfect.
I love that. There are some people who have worked really hard to get to a certain level, and then you factor in the possibility of taking some risk and posting something that maybe isn't usually what you do, but you know you're trying to get into a new segment, only to have all this fear behind it of, well, this might ruin everything I've built. And you're saying there's a lot going on in social media, and that's why it's so forgiving, because it's a passing fancy for many people, maybe even skipped the first three times you posted it to begin with. Is that what you're saying?
I just think that there's a lot of people out there and there's a lot of content. And just like I say, when I teach spin, like you think everybody's looking at you, but no one's looking at you. So, and that's what's happening on social media is like, look, the algorithm's going to beat you every time. So sure, you can beat it with some paid, but you think everybody's looking, but no one's looking. So it's okay to test and learn and adapt. But also at the same time, you need to keep in mind, if two people are like, making negative comments, 2 out of 20, let's not pivot because two people made negative comments. You have to, you know, wait that out.
Now, I want to roll out the red carpet for you because you've been so generous as we begin to close things out here. Where can people connect with you, the people who are listening, about your work and the agency you're working with and learning more about the type of work you do?
Yeah. So I think, you know, socially, Denise Vitola on LinkedIn. I am a fit foodie on TikTok. And on Instagram, I'm D's with a Z, workouts with a Z. So D's workouts. And it's fun and funny content. But business-wise, LinkedIn is the place to go, Denise Vitola. And then my email is denise.vitola@linkia.com. So if anybody does want to reach out, I would love to have a conversation. I can't talk enough about influencer, and I can't be more adamant about how this needs to be a tool in your toolkit. Otherwise, your foundation will falter.
Love it. Can I get a PS from you on your views on TikTok as a channel? Because of how you've been in the game and you've seen things come and go, and you're active on TikTok, I'd love to hear just your own perspective on what that channel is in the ecosystem and how one should view that channel.
So personally, I have a love-hate relationship with TikTok because I really feel like it's like an app, like it's ad after ad after, and not like a brand ad. It's just people are just selling and selling and selling. It's just become so obnoxious to me that I can't get my For You page exacting to where I want it to be. So it's like for every three, oh, did you know you can wash your house with this? Like every three of that, I get one piece of good content. So that's my love-hate relationship from a personal perspective. But as a brand, that's the party. That's where the party is. And you need to show up and you need to figure out your place on TikTok. Duolingo did a great job. And they're like, Green Owl is like killing it, slaying it. There's like libraries that are like doing and having great content. There's tons of trends to tap into. Hire a young kid that plays around on TikTok and do some stuff with it. it's there. Like I said, it's the party and you don't want to not go to the cool kids party. So let's show up there. But you got to let your personal feelings like not get the best of you sometimes. And you're a, research group of one, and that's just my personal feelings on it. But I still go. I still post content. I still like people's content. I'm looking at Risa Tisa and I'm falling trapped to her and others. But it's entertaining. It's entertainment.
I love that. I mean, you're telling me I don't have to dance just to be at the party?
You don't. A lot of it is testimonials nowadays. A lot of it, quite honestly, are people like looking at the camera and saying, da, 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 da. And it's like, a lot of it is just simply that. Like, you don't have to get funky or, do these crazy transitions or grab your grampy and your gammy and dance with them. You know, it's a lot of... it's a lot of conversation and it's very informative, but be careful who's informing you.
Oh, you've been an absolute treasure of information. I can't thank you enough for stopping by, taking us on that ride. And before we close out, Denise, are there any thoughts or anything else you want to share? Otherwise, I'm very grateful and just a big thank you.
Yeah, no, it was great to be here. And I just encourage everyone to chase your dreams and, think all the time about the legacy you want to leave and then draw a game plan up to leave that legacy.
Big time. Thank you so much, Denise.
You're welcome.